Shalom, I'm Tamir Dortal, and today on our podcast on meaning, על המשמעות, we are honored to host Dennis Prager,
the founder of PragerU.
Over the last 12 years, Dennis and PragerU have changed the minds of millions of Americans, with an emphasis on students and young adults. In this interview, we are going to discuss and learn about Dennis' philosophy and his ideas on some of the important topics in today's public sphere.
על המשמעות, פודקאסט פילוסופי פוליטי.
Shalom, Dennis.
It's great to be with you, Tamir. Thank you for coming to my home. This, for your viewers and listeners, is Otto, who has been with me through all of my fireside chats. He is, amazingly, the most famous dog in America.
It's a pleasure to be here. The first question is, has the Western society has turned its back on religion? And if so, what is the way to bring back religious values in Western society?
Yes, the Western world has rejected religion. And I warn Jews and Christians and secular people that the results can only be terrible. When Christianity died, and I say this as a committed Jew, when Christianity died in Europe, we got fascism, Nazism, and communism. So that's a very scary proposition. People want religion. So they will either have Judeo-Christian religions, Judaism, Christianity, Catholicism, Mormonism, a whole host, or they will have secular religions, feminism, environmentalism, Marxism, humanism.
But what about classical liberalism? Can it be a substitute for religion?
Liberalism is not surviving. You have conservatism and leftism. Liberalism has been undermined by leftism.
But why?
Well, let me give you examples because people will not know what I mean. Liberals believe in free speech. The left does not believe in free speech. Liberals believe in racial integration, and leftists believe in racial segregation. They make all black dormitories on college campuses, all black graduations at campuses. Liberalism has nothing in common with leftism except big government. That's the one thing they share. Oh, they share one other thing. They're opposed to the conservatives, which is a terrible mistake on the liberals' part. The threat to liberalism is not from conservatism, it's from the left.
But why is it so? Why can't classical liberalism or conservatism can fill the heart of the people as a substitute for religion? Why is it only bad ideologies that can be a substitute for religion?
That's right, because it's not enough. Liberalism is rooted in the West, in Judeo-Christian values. Margaret Thatcher spoke about that in England, and of course we in America speak about that all the time. When you take plants from the soil that nurtured them, they don't die immediately, but they will die. We are living in the soil that religion created, of a world that believed that rights came from the Creator, but not from man. If rights come from man and not from God, man can remove them. And that is what is happening.
As we know, nowadays, most people have a short attention span. How can we teach conservative ideas to the public with that short span?
We know about the attention span. So all of our videos are 5 minutes. We have 500 of them. They have about 5 billion views. Mostly, by the way, according to Google, which monitors who views things, 65% of the viewers are under 35 years of age, all over in over 100 countries. You can teach a lot in 5 minutes. Think about it.
How can we teach, how can we influence our friends and family to read the great books that we need to read in order to be educated, in order to have the conservative values?
Well, what do you mean by family? You mean one's children or one's brother-in-law or one's parents? Who?
Oh, yeah. Let's start with how do we influence our kids.
Okay, so the Torah gives the answer. V'shinantam levanecha, v'shivtecha beveitecha, v'lechecha v'aderechu, v'shochbecha v'kumecha. You will teach them when you lie down, when you rise up, when you walk by the way. The problem in America and the West is that the generation that fought World War II did not teach their children, that's me, that's my generation. I was taught it, but my generation was not, the baby boomers. We were not taught about these religious and Western values. We were just taught to get good grades, make a good living, and avoid pain.
Wow, that's a big surprise. The problem has started already in your generation.
It started with my generation, but only because my generation was not taught by the wonderful generation that preceded us. This is even older than my generation. If you do not teach your values, they will not survive. That's why the Torah, as usual, is right. You've got to teach them. And what does it say in the Haggadah? Afilu kulanu chachamim, right?
Ve'kulanu nevonim.
Yes, even if we are all brilliant and wise, if we don't teach it in every generation, goodbye.
Okay, fair enough. So now let's move to immigration. The U.S. has always been a country of immigrants with a policy of open borders. What has changed and when?
The left would like America to change radically. It hates America. The world's left hates America, and the American left hates America. Again, liberals love America, the left hates America. And so if you can bring in tens of millions of new people, the issue is not their race. The issue is they bring in other values. Most people in the world don't have American values. In fact, a lot of Americans don't have American values. You bring in tens of millions of people with values that will have them vote for the Democratic Party, you will be in power forever.
But what I'm actually asking, that 200 years ago, the borders of the United States were open.
Yeah, but we didn't have tens of millions of people coming in from the southern border. They were open because we didn't have passports 250 years ago. So theoretically, they were open. You're quite right.
So what you're actually saying is that the only reason the borders remained open is that the United States couldn't close the borders because there was no passport? You mean there is only a practical reason and not an ideological shift?
That there wasn't a way to close them, and the people who came here wanted to be American.
So what you're saying is that they wanted to assimilate.
Yes, wanted to assimilate, which is not a dirty word. I am a Jew who speaks Hebrew, keeps Shabbat, writes a Torah commentary, written books on Judaism. I have a Jewish home, but I am an assimilated American. It was an Israeli group in Los Angeles many years ago. They said, can we interview you? And I was honored and delighted because I said, okay, if you do it in Hebrew, I'll come. So we did it in Hebrew. So he said, I'll say it in English, but he asked me in Hebrew, what are you first, an American or a Jew? And I came up with an answer right then, which I have used to this day. I have two fathers, Abraham and George Washington. And that is how I still feel. So to assimilate into America is a good. You don't have to abandon your other culture. I didn't abandon Judaism. You know, I've two kids, and I've raised them with a Jewish day school. But I am American. This was the dream of this country, that no matter what your background, e pluribus unum. We have three mottos in America. One is e pluribus unum. It's Latin. And it means from many one. That's the dream.
So how does the conservative movement presently justify the ideological shift in the way they view immigration? From what I hear from you, is there are two kinds of immigration. One, a good immigration, an immigration that wants to assimilate to be American. And a bad immigration, an immigration that wants to change America. Is this the argument the conservative movement and you justifies your resistance to open borders and immigration?
The conservative movement has not shifted in its views of immigration. We think it's wonderful to have immigrants, but not uncontrolled immigrants, not vast numbers of people who, by the way, I don't blame them. If I were a Mexican or a Guatemalan or a Honduran or a Nicaraguan or an El Salvadoran, I would do anything to go to America. This is the land of opportunity and dreams. But they don't come here to be American. They come here to make money. And I don't blame them. I would do the same thing. But there's just so many that America can afford to take in. We have had 3 million blacks come from Africa and the Caribbean. And by the way, they're a terrific immigrant group.
Because they want to assimilate.
Well, that's right. Basically, they do. That's exactly right.
So how do you think we can combat the rising popularity of the progressive agenda in the U.S. and in Israel as well? How do we fight the progressive movement? Their ideas are so simple. It's so connected to one's feelings and not to one's rationale or to one's common sense. How can we fight them?
They're all emotional. That is exactly right. That is why, ולא תתורו אחרי לבבכם, don't follow your heart. The great difference between those rooted in the Bible, Jews and Christians, and the secular, is that we don't trust the heart. They trust the heart.
It's a big problem that already the Torah had identified, but how do we fight it?
The Torah, הפוך בה והפוך בה דכולה בה, I agree, I believe that. That's why I'm writing a Torah commentary. I finished 3 volumes. Devarim is coming out this year.
Yeah, but you're also an entrepreneur who made a lot of effort in order to change the minds of young Americans.
That's right.
That are following the heart. So how do you do it?
By showing them what happens. If you follow your heart, you will not be a happy human being. That's the irony. Let alone, you won't make a good society. That's the obvious. But it isn't good for you. Think about what your feelings want. Do you want healthy food? Who wants healthy food? Overwhelmingly, we want junk food. Overwhelmingly, you know, what man does not want more than one woman? If he's a heterosexual man, he wants more than one woman. If he's a homosexual man, he wants more than one man. So should he follow his heart? No, that's the route to a miserable life, let alone a dead marriage. So there's no example of following, you know when you should follow your heart, what movie to go to. That's okay. Or do you want Chinese food for dinner or Italian food for dinner? Follow your heart.
But how do you persuade people not to follow their heart, just to show the results?
I believe the power of rational argument works with 50% of the people. I have given up on 50% of humanity. But if I can touch the other 50%, then we will prevail. But so I completely agree with you. You can't persuade everybody. You know, people come over to me all the time. I'm very touched. Dennis, at airports, Dennis Prager, you changed my life. Or they'll call my radio show and say that. And I always explain, you get half the credit because a lot of people hear me and nothing happens, but you, it affected.
Actually, some ideas are so new, like the transgenders and the LGBT and all kind of other things, that you can't really show results yet.
רציתי להציע לכם להפיק סיפור חיים מרגש לסבא וסבתא. אז אם אתם גם רוצים להפיק תוך זמן ממש קצר סיפור חיים שכולל את כל החיים מלידה ועד זקנה ולשמור את כל הסיפורים הכי טובים של סבא וסבתא כדי שלא ילכו לאיבוד, תפנו אליי 0505-770586 ותקבלו הצעת מחיר. להתראות.
Well, we can't show results. I mean, you're right. The generations of results are not yet available to us. But we had a situation here in Los Angeles at a spa, and a person walked in to where there were women and girls and a person with a penis. And this person said, I'm a woman, and walked in naked. And so most humans understand it's not right to have girls see naked men, especially, you know, this is not Michelangelo's David. This is a living human being in front of them. You want to protect their innocence. And even grown women, until recently, someone who showed their penis to women was arrested. Now, it is a civil right to do so. There's something simply irrational about this. If that's not obvious, that proves my point.
About the 50%.
Of the 50%, and it proves many of my points, that Reshit Chochma Yirat Adonai, that when you have a purely secular world, you have no arguments against anything.
If you were to go 30 years ago, would you have done anything different concerning PragerU and the rest of the things you did concerning your activism? What were your mistakes?
I wish we started it earlier. That's my own. I have very few regrets.
What about mistakes you did on the way? Because today in Israel, people want to learn about the conservative movement in the United States and just to copy-paste, you know, to take things and to use them in order to block the progressive agenda. How can we do it better than you?
I don't know. I hope you do it better than us. The problem is that the only antidote is basically the Bible. That's the only antidote. I know this sounds silly to everybody who went to university where you're taught that the Bible is for stupid people.
Actually, we can read it in Hebrew. It's a great blessing.
Yes, you're right. You can. But if it's not explained, if, for example, I'll give you an example. George Washington had slaves. So people say, oh, look, the founders of America were bad people. They had slaves. Now, how do I know how to answer that argument? I know it from the Torah. Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bedorotav. The genius of the Torah to add bedorotav. Noah was a righteous man in his generations. You judge people in their generations, not in our generation.
Not retrospectively, not in anachronism.
Yes, we will all look terrible to some future generation. Maybe 100 years from now, everyone will be vegetarian. So they'll say, oh, you know what? Don't read anything a guy like Dennis Prager wrote. He ate meat. And now we'll end the issue for people. So the arrogance and the stupidity of judging people not in their times. Washington and Jefferson and the others made a country that abolished slavery. That is what is important. Every country had slavery, everyone in the world. The issue is not who had slaves, who abolished slavery.
England did it first.
You're right, fine. No. I have no problem with that. And America did it second. That's fine.
They lost a lot of lives.
And the people in England who did it were religious Christians, just for the record, based on the Tanakh, based on the Old Testament.
You said before that the leftism is against free speech. Do you feel that you personally pay a personal price for contributing and promoting conservative ideas?
Oh, I've paid a price my whole life. Why do you think I don't have a column in the New York Times or the Washington Post? I don't write well enough? No, I don't care if it doesn't sound humble. I write pretty damn well. The reason I don't have a column in the Washington Post, or forget a column, an article, one opinion piece, they don't publish people like me. I'm in the Wall Street Journal, which is as prestigious, but it's the only non-left-wing major journal.
People today in America are being fired for maybe sharing PragerU's videos.
That is right. They are. A teacher in Toledo, Ohio, showed a PragerU video in their class. The Toledo newspaper, the Toledo Blade, reported it, and all hell broke loose just for showing a 5-minute video. You can't show 5 minutes of non-left-wing thought. 5 minutes, and they're right, by the way. The left is right. It only takes 5 minutes to undo everything the left says.
Sounds pretty easy. You said once that you support taking kids out of public schools and into homeschooling. Why?
Not only public schools, I always add private schools as well. Private schools are as damaging as public schools.
Wow.
And some of them are worse than the public schools. The American school system today I'm sorry to say, poison. If you are willing to gamble that your child will come out hating everything you stand for and maybe even hating you, then send your child to school. If not, find a good school. They exist. They're very rare, but they exist. Usually it's a religious school. And although not all religious schools, is that true? But some.
Could you tell some examples about what's so bad about the public or private schools?
Yes, of course. Yes. We could spend the rest of the hour for me giving examples, but I'll begin. Teachers are told all over America, do not call your students boys and girls. You can't. You can call them, call students, let's go, not boys and girls, let's go, open your books. Because boys and girls implies that there are only two sexes, or as they call it, genders.
And is it like some order from above? Can a brave teacher say, I want to call them boys and girls? What will happen to this kind of teacher?
If a teacher consistently said boys and girls, there's a good chance that teacher would be called in to the principal's office if the principal is the one who said, please do not say boys and girls. They have in the classes they are taught from the earliest stages now that America was founded in order to have slavery. That that was the purpose of the American founding, to preserve slavery. So what they are taught, good is bad and bad is good. And of course, they're taught that there's an infinite number, oh, not infinite, a large number of genders. They have men dressed as women come into class. It's called drag queens.
Is it part of the curriculum? Like you have to know it in order to finish high school? Or can you like leave the class or something like that?
Yeah, but if you leave the class, you will be alienated from your classmates. No child wants to be unpopular. I have said for 25 years, sending your child to college is playing Russian roulette with their values. Now it is true about high schools and elementary schools.
What's the alternative of, like, let's say college? If you don't send them to college, where will you send them?
Very good question. Very tough question. If they are studying science, technology,
STEM,
engineering, STEM, or math, or law, they have to go to college. I acknowledge that. It's a problem, but I acknowledge it. But otherwise, it is largely a negative. I will tell you, as crazy as this sounds to some people, but I swear before Hashem that I believe this. If your child did not go to college, watched the 500 videos up at PragerU, all my fireside chats. By the way, those videos are not all me. A very tiny percentage are me. Just want to make that clear. The fireside chats are me.
Actually, they are on Spotify, which is much easier to listen to because you can press play on the first one and it rolls until the last. Because in YouTube, if you play the first one, it wouldn't go to...
That's right, at PragerU. Go straight to PragerU.
It's much easier through Spotify or audio.
Thank you. Good. But if they read the readings that accompany that, there is a Harvard student who is working with me now. She would be the first to say, you learn more at PragerU than at Harvard.
Wow.
Bill Bennett, a very famous American, his son went to Princeton. He said, I learned more at PragerU than at Princeton, and we only had 100 videos up then, not 500.
Why don't you open a real university which gives degrees?
Too much time, too much money, and pointless. I don't care about degrees. The only degrees I care about are the temperature outside. I have contempt for degrees. In fact, do you know that a man named R.R. Reno, a Catholic thinker, a very bright man, wrote a piece for the Wall Street Journal recently. I think it was the Wall Street Journal. And he said that if someone applies for a job with a degree from Yale, he used to say, oh, that's great. Now he thinks it's probably a foolish kid. He actually holds it against you, and I agree with that.
So you are hiring in PragerU?
Well, we hire at PragerU. If you went to Harvard or never went to college, it doesn't matter to us. Who are you? We don't care. But it means nothing to us if you went to college. Nothing.
Let's talk a bit about Israel. Unlike in the US, Israel doesn't have a conservative foundation. It was founded by socialists and progressives. How can we create an Israeli conservative movement that doesn't start from scratch? Because you can read the Federalist paper.
That's a great question. In the sense of conservatism as you and I understand it, you will have to start or you are starting from scratch. You're right. Israel was founded as a socialist state. That's exactly correct. And by the way, God bless them. Even though they were atheists and socialists, they weren't communists. They weren't Marxists. They were socialists. I want to make that clear. And most of them hated the Soviet Union, just for the record. They understood that communism was evil.
Some of them did celebrate Stalin's birthday.
You're right. That is correct. Shomer HaTzair was Marxist, though. They would say they were Marxist. That is correct. Now, here is the sad part for me. There is a conservative movement in Israel. It's called Judaism. But religious Jews have no idea how to answer the left-wing ideology that is destroying Western society. By the way, most Christians have no idea how to do it either. Religion has become largely irrelevant to the great questions of our time.
Wow, it's a big thing to say.
I'd like to explain why, because I know Christianity as well as I know Judaism. I work with Christians, I work for Christians, I spend most of my time with Christians. So I know both really well. Christians spend too much time on faith, and Jews spend too much time on halacha.
On doing.
And they both became irrelevant to the great questions of life.
Which is?
Da mala hashiv la apikores, know what to answer the heretic. They don't have a clue what to answer. So what they did was, much of the religious community retreated further from the secular world instead of answering it. And the same with a lot of Christians.
You've once said in the past that the loss of free speech in the US is dangerous because it moves one step closer to a totalitarian country. At what point, if at all, will it be justified for the American people to use their Second Amendment right to rebel against the government?
It is common sense, as well as the Declaration of Independence of the United States, that if there is no other choice to preserve liberty, even anyone would agree with that. If you have a Nazi movement take over your society, it is good to be armed to be able to resist them. So there's nothing in the American DNA that prevents this country from becoming totalitarian. The only thing that prevents America from becoming a dictatorship are its values. But if we have dictatorial takeover, and the left always wants dictatorial takeover, there is no example in the history of the world of the left allowing dissent. There is no example. Liberals allow dissent. Conservatives allow dissent.
So is there a point where you will say we have to rebel against the government? Like being said on the Constitution?
Yes, if there would be a point. We're not at that point. The rebellion today should be peaceful. But I could imagine a point where the Bolsheviks would take over, and the only way to preserve liberty would be to fight. God willing, that will not happen.
Thank you, Dennis. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure.
נהניתם מהרעיון? הצטרפו כמנויים בהוראת קבע בקישור שבתחתית הפרק, ותקבלו את הפרקים המלאים לפני כולם, שיעורי זום שאני מעביר פעם בשבוע על פילוסופיה פוליטית, כלכלה ואסטרטגיה, ופרקים נוספים שלא מפורסמים לציבור הרחב, במיוחד בשבילכם המנויים. נתראה בפרק הבא.